Let me live. time we have Brother Bob to be our speaker, and I would ask for him your prayers and your attention.
This song that we sang, "What fruit have you brought? What fruit have you brought for the Master?" If we can no more than bring ourselves, we'll have accomplished something. But I hope that each one of us are able to do a little better than that and cause a few more people to be aware of the gospel and accomplish the things that the Lord desires for us to do. But we each one know that God is a real thing, and that the gospel is real and it's true. And I don't know whether how many people really realize in the world what can come out of believing in the Lord and following after Him. But I know that those that do have a lot happier life. I've got a little, a cartoon here. We often think of going to church and so on, and this here is taken out of the Family Weekly here some time back, and it's a little picture of a minister here where this fellow's sitting on a cot with a blanket around him and a TV in the church. And what this is, it says, in response to the parishioner's wide range of reasons for not attending services, the Reverend Dale Burdick offers no excuse Sunday. At the Great Hope Baptist Church in Pennsylvania. And it features, and here's what this fellow put out so that the people wouldn't be sure and miss, and it says, "Cots for those who like to sleep in, blankets for those who find the sanctuary too cold, and fans for those who find the sanctuary too warm, sand for those who prefer the beach, television sets for those who prefer their services on a screen, and poinsettias and lilies for those who are accustomed to entering the church only on Christmas and Easter." And he kind of covered the whole thing there, that no one would be left out, or at least they wouldn't feel bad if they arrived at some certain time. But it's too bad that more people in the world don't just plain come to church and enjoy it. If for no other reason, just to get to hear the music would be worthwhile for me. But there's so many benefits. And I want to start, I'm going to read back a little bit in Genesis, and we know that this is we have a living God, and He is the one that created us. And I want to read out of the second chapter in the seventh verse, the seventh verse. And of course we know what the first chapter says, that He created the heavens and the earth. But here in the seventh verse it says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And from that time forward, man has had the right to choose which way he went and what he done. And we know over here a little later on that he created woman. And from that time forward, the two of them had the right to do as they pleased. I shouldn't really say that. They was their own free moral agent. They could choose which way they wanted to go. In the third chapter, in the 22nd verse, after they had been in the cast out of the garden and had partaken of the forbidden fruit, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest we put it, lest he put forth his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And this is really where the whole thing began at this time. And here I want to read some things that, out of Romans and a few places, of things that we should do and things that I hope that we will be able to accomplish in the 8th chapter. I want to read a few verses, beginning with the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A person who does that, there's not going to be any condemnation toward them, is there? For the law of the Spirit of the life of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is where the law is going to be fulfilled, where all things are going to be fulfilled, isn't it? For those who turn from the sinful ways and walk after the Spirit. And that's our duty. For those that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Quite a promise, isn't it? Quite a contrast there, really. Death and life. Can you imagine the difference in the two? I think we all can. There it is promised, if we follow after the Lord, that we're going to live, have life eternal, and we're going to be able to walk with Christ, and so on. If you don't, you're going to be cast out. And when we think of being spiritually minded is life and peace, and what do we think of when we think of life and peace? I'm sure that each person has a special thing they think of being peaceful and quiet, or peaceful and good. Some of us might think of a wide valley with everything that was good in it. I don't know, maybe fields and pastures and houses and righteous people. That would be what would be peaceful, wouldn't it? And that's what we can think of ourselves. But I'm sure that as we realize that God has promised so much more than that, that we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. But I think that if we had total peace and we didn't have any great problems, we couldn't imagine how wonderful that would be. But we are promised greater things than that. It goes ahead, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ with us, we're not of Christ. And I want to jump down here to the 11th verse here. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Not perhaps or maybe, but this is what will happen. If we're going to follow after Christ, we're going to have a lot of benefits that the other people in the whole world cannot have. I want to jump down here to 14 now and read this verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this is a fact. If we want to follow after him, we can be expected to be of his family. And I want to go over here and read the 28th verse in this same chapter. And this is sometimes a little bit hard to understand. But when we read this, we realize that sometimes we're going to have difficulties, but this will kind of give a little bit of explanation for it. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But all things work together. What does it say here? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Quite a promise, isn't it? Now sometimes, if we have a little bit of difficulties in things, we can look ahead and know that things are going to be better, and that God is going to eventually help us work out our problems. I want to read a little bit in John, in the 6th chapter. In the 6th chapter of John, and beginning with the 47th verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now we know that if we believe and we keep it means that if we are going to keep the commandments and walk uprightly before him, we're going to have these things. And he goes ahead and says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. This would be hard for those people to understand. The same as it was for the woman beside the well when he told her that the water that he would give her that she would never thirst again. She couldn't understand that. And I'm sure that these people, a good part of them, really didn't understand what he was saying there. I think that in a few days they probably did. But they really didn't understand what he was explaining to them. That they would never die. We know that this mortal body is going to die, but the spirit's going to live on. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give thee is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we know that in these next few verses is when he instituted the sacrament. And they didn't understand that. And some of them turned away. They couldn't believe it. And they turned away and left. But can you imagine those that did believe and were able to understand a little more and were able to sit there and ask Christ questions that they need answered? That would have been a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? There wouldn't have been any misinterpretation at all, because they would have known what he meant. I want to go over here in the 66th verse of this same chapter and read a few verses. And he, just before this, he had told them about the sacrament and so on. And it says here, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They really didn't understand what was going on. And so some of them turned back. And how many times have we seen people come into the church a little ways, become slightly interested, and all of a sudden turn away? Surely they did not understand the gospel in its fullness, or they would never have turned away. Sometimes, maybe this is partly our fault. Maybe we haven't been diligent enough in telling them the story that they might continue to follow. And some may have turned away anyway. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." He knew that, but we find out there was many more things that happened in the next few hours after this. And many of them did turn from Christ. They turned back, but they did turn away for a time. But he said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know that I don't think that he is any more sure of that then than we are today. Or we should be just as sure as he was. And just as willing to follow after him and not turn away. Where would we go if we turned away from Christ? It'd be a frightful thing to think of, wouldn't it? I'm sure nobody here is ever intentionally going to do that. I want to go over to into Ephesians for a few verses. In the second chapter of Ephesians, I always have problem finding Ephesians, it seems like. It's kind of a small book in there, but it's always there if I look long enough. I want to begin with the 18th verse in the second chapter of Ephesians. "For through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Here was he was talking to these people, and he was telling, as Paul told them, he had been preaching to them, and this is some of the things that he said. "And you are of the household of God." And the same as we are, the household of God at this time. And it's a real household. It's an actual thing. It's not something that we dream up or anything. It is for sure, and it's real. And it tells them here a bit, "and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." You couldn't get a better cornerstone than that, could you? "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord." If you put it all together, it's going to make a holy temple unto the Lord. And you know that they call our body a temple so many times. And if we put all the words together and the gospel together, then our body body and soul can be a holy temple unto the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. If we can all work together, how wonderful it is, and how wonderful it is to be with people that believe that way. And how sad it is to be on the outside and be with people that have no belief or faith. It's a pitiful thing. I want to go into Alma for a few verses here in the ninth chapter. I'm going to begin with the on page 347 with the 51st verse. And again, Alma speaking to the people here. Wherefore he gave commandments unto men, they having first transgressed the first commandment as to things which were temporal, and become as gods, knowing good from evil, placing themselves in a state to act, or to be placed in a state to act according to their own wills and pleasures, whether to do evil or to do good. And we all know that's where we stand. We can do whatever we want to do. But how much better it is to be like they were there in Ephesians and be of the body of Christ or of God and to follow after him. Therefore God gave unto them commandments, after having made known unto them the plan of redemption, that they should not do evil. Right away he made this known to them, didn't he? That they should not do evil. And the penalty thereof being a second death, which was an everlasting death as to things pertaining unto righteousness. For on such the plan of redemption could have no power, for the works of justice could not be destroyed according to the supreme goodness of God. But God did call on men in the name of his Son, this being the plan of redemption, which was laid, saying, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, then will I have mercy upon you through my own only begotten Son. From the very beginning, he laid a plan for us to be able to turn to him. And we are not forced to do this. We have our own free moral agent to do as we very well please. But he told them right at the beginning what would happen. There would be a second death. But if we follow after that which he has laid down for us, we do not have to suffer that one. And he's promised us to guide us and direct us all the time if we'll seek after him. I want to read a few verses out of First Nephi here, the third chapter. On page 28, I'm going to begin with verse 68. And I think that most of us have read this story of the vision that Nephi had had, and the rod of iron that was the word of God, and so on. I'll begin with the 68th verse here. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are represented, a representation of the love of God. And that's a great thing to have them, to know that God loves us and cares for us, and to have His love in our heart. And I also beheld that the tree of life was the representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me, Look, and I looked, and I beheld the countenance of God. Now, do you suppose that anybody that wasn't righteous and wasn't keeping the commandment could have witnessed these things? There is so many things in these few verses, actually to grasp, of course, I'm sure that each one of us have read it, and so we know the story, but a person has got to read this whole thing many times to grasp all the wonderful things that's told in there, and all of the sad things that's told also. But in this, this chapter is told of the goodness of the Lord and the promises made to the people, and also the promises made to those that aren't seeking after the Lord. We can read over in the 12th chapter of Corinthians the many promises, or the gifts that's given to man, of prophecy, of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, and so on, and the many promises that's given to us that we can have amongst us, that we can use. The same as if we read this here, it tells us what can happen to us, what we can expect, and what we know that we can receive. I want to go over here into Matthew for a verse or two, in the 16th chapter. I believe I'll start with the 14th verse. And here the people was wondering who he was, and so on, and it said here, and some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, for us to say a living God would seem a little strange, but to those people, they had idols set up that they worshipped that were gods, and they were stone. So, he told him that he was the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have that revealed to you that way, that there would be no question? And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we know, as it mentioned over there, that Christ was a cornerstone. And he is the Son of the living God. And all of it's got to be built around that and upon it. And if we do that, we're going to have a greater knowledge if we seek after the Lord, if we don't turn away from it. And each one of us have got to search out the Scripture so that we know what we should do. I don't think there's anyone in this room that doesn't know what he should do. There may be parts of doctrine that we don't understand, but all of us know what we should do and how we should live. And then we can expect to receive the benefits that a living God would have to offer us. And as we go through the Scripture, there's many places that tell us what he has to offer us and what he's going to do for us, both if we keep the commandments and if we don't. So it's our duty to follow after him, do our very best to lead someone else to him, and by doing this, we're going to make ourselves happier and we're going to make someone else happier. But we have got to really realize that it, and I know that everyone in this room does, that it's an actual thing and that there is a living God and it is a living gospel. Now, lots of people have said, and we have read in articles and magazines, that God has died, that God is dead. But that isn't the truth. We have a living God, and we have his Son that's living, that wants to help us every day. But we've got to turn to him and take avail ourselves to these things. And if we do that, then we can expect to be blessed.
Wednesday at 8 p.m. will be scripture study. We're closed with number 323.
He walks with me and he talks with me. talks with me and he talks with me.
She won't take it back.